So there's probably some show out there called like True Confessions or something, and I should probably be on it. Because I have to admit something to you today. I feel like I haven't done a very good job of sticking with the subjects that I was supposed to the last 4 weeks. See, I had been asked to present a sermon series on how to get through the anxiousness of our current times. Following the holidays and gatherings with family, the credit card bills that come in January, the New Year's resolutions that are potentially broken already, and the change of administration, with all of those things in mind, our ministry team recognized that we might all be feeling a bit anxious. Recognizing that we have various reasons for our anxiousness, but that similar feeling. And then I was reminded that our bishop declared that the year of 2025 was to be a year of grace. And I was asked to present this year on how grace could begin to soften our anxiousness, to help get us through these feelings. And I realize I don't really know that I have much to offer in this category. I don't think I know how to tell you to get through anxious times. But what I do know is that knowing stories of faith, reading the Bible, and applying it to our lives helps get me through my days. So Naomi is going to share with us a familiar story and a note from Philippians.
Our first reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic man lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven. I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Our second reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, God of love, be with us now, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So we started the year with the Seeking Magi, and we learned that you have to look for something, that you must seek in order to find, and that there are other people who are also seeking. Some of them might even be on a similar path. And as we walk towards the light of Christ, we might join in with them, with the others that are walking towards the light of Christ, and we might be enriched by that travel together. Our hope might be met on the journey as much as on the arrival. Then we considered Jesus' baptism, and we were reminded that our faith must be rooted firmly in our belief and our understanding, that we must know the Bible, and then we can follow God, that we can rest easy when we have no worries, But if we are worried, then we are to give everything to God through prayer. Remember Jesus in that boat, sleeping while they were all anxious. And I reminded you that we all love to be invited to the party, that being included, especially when we're with people who believe as we do, can be fun, but it can also help deepen our connection to God, that we can learn from each other, that belonging can possibly reduce our anxiousness because others join with us. Naming what brings us fear, then putting our faith over fear, and then connecting with other believers gets us to a place emotionally, mentally, possibly, where we can stand up and walk upright with confidence in our faith. And now Naomi shares with us the story of the paralyzed man. And perhaps you noticed we left out some verses. That was intentional. We left out the naysayer verses. I don't mean to proof text or to chop apart the Bible, but I didn't think I had space today for the naysayers in our worship service. Instead, I wanted to focus on the action of the friends of the paralytic man and on Jesus' reply to them. Many people who have disabilities have stories that they could share about coming in a back door, through a kitchen, up a freight elevator, or being ushered or zigzagged through a space in order to meet up with all the other people who came in the front door. They have stories about how they get to where people are gathered. When I was in grade school, Matt was carried up and down the flights of stairs in our old school building. He was brought to the level that we learned on. He was carried up to the floor that the library was on, and he was embraced down the long stairwell to the lunchroom. Strong muscles and dedicated hearts made sure that he was not limited by the wheels that usually guided him, but that he was always included. Eventually, we got an elevator in that old building. The community came together. At least that's how my preteen brain memory is. I remember that a whole community wanted Matt to be able to be where we were. I wonder if I go back and look if that's really what happened, or if that's just how my heart remembers it. But we got an elevator in that building. People wanted Matt to be able to participate even on days when Lyle wasn't there to clean, when his custodian arms were off. They wanted Matt to participate. And I can still see, especially if I close my eyes, I can still see that fragile frame and the arms gripping tightly to the neck of our custodian, the one whose arms reached out to him and dared to take many flights on slippery steps in order that that boy would participate. Our scripture lesson today contains some very important principles. I hear some same words as my memory gives me. I hear loyalty, trust, strength, determination, belief, and healing. In Jesus' refusal to be contained by the system, healing people in a place, in a time that he wasn't supposed to, and by seeing some friends refuse to let physical limitations restrict their faithful spirits, we read a story about claiming power, a story about love, and about the promise of faith. Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven," Mark 2, verse 5. Those words are quite challenging for many, and people have spent a lot of time unpacking the idea that sins would be what were holding him back. But nevertheless, we hear a reply to faith. That if we have faith, that our sins, our limitations, whatever is holding us back, whatever restrictions there are, can be removed. And and we can meet Jesus. Jesus takes the authority in that space to offer forgiveness. Jesus owns his place in the world in that time and offers what he has to give, grace. And in that place, there is healing. There is healing. The healing we read about is about a man who can now get up and walk. But the healing that's not put in the words on that page is potentially the healing of all of those in those rooms and in that neighborhood and those friends. I ask you to consider where you relate to today's story, how you fit into it. Are you so full of faith that you could lend some of your faith to another person? Have you ever thought about that? Like a cup of sugar, right? Could you spare a little? I know. Now, here's the part you're all gonna, whew, be brave. Ready? I would like you to turn to someone else. It can be the person right next to you. And I would like you to look at them. Actually look in their eyes. And look for a minute to see if in the quietness of this space you can see their needs or their faith. And if you're one who's sitting here with extra right now, if your faith cup is full or overflowing, then without a word, offer those in the pew with you a bit of your faith. And if you're one who's sitting here feeling a little bit lacking, and I know some of us are, borrow from the person next to you. Just for a minute. Here we go. We're going to do it. You got to find someone to look at it. Not just me. Yeah. Oh, that's the noisiest quiet look I've ever did see. Well, way to be brave, guys. I mean, you didn't climb on a roof or anything, but that's pretty good. Maybe today you're sitting here feeling much more like the man labeled the paralytic in the story. Maybe there's something holding you back or preventing you from accessing your faith in a real way. Then get to Jesus. Beg, borrow, or steal, like they say, right? But don't actually do that, right? But get to Jesus. Find a way, a means of grace, an access point. Be brave enough to ask someone else to help you. Or open your Bible or that devotional book that sits next to your bed that you think about reading. Yeah. Find an access point this day. Or use that faith that was just lent to you. And if you're one who's more in tune today with the part of the story that we didn't share, the negative people, the ones so stuck on the rules and the practices that they can't see a need for an opportunity to share in grace, then I apologize to you, but I have nothing to offer you this day. A swift kick in the, well, you know. I have lots of ideas, but none that I'll offer from this place. Except to say, get out of there. And find peace. Seek peace. Quiet the anxiousness, the noise, and the chatter, and the what-ifs, and seek peace. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to live in a place where I can peek inside the window of that house that Naomi told us about and see grace dancing around and healing in a place that's so familiar, and yet not a place where that would usually have happened. I'm attempting, in my own life, to find the life-giving parts of the stories and to set aside the naysayers and the challenges. Not ignore them, but not give them space. Can you do that? Can you seek peace not just for you, but for your friend or your pewmate or your student or your neighbor? There's plenty of stuff in this world that can break our spirit. Yeah. For me, it was one right-hand turn yesterday that just took my spirit all the wrong way. Isn't that silly? It can be hard to get back on track when we've been derailed. So let's firmly plant ourselves in stories of faith. And let's do it with people who help us belong, who help us to see Jesus, who are willing to bust a roof or drop us down, who we can trust enough to carry us. I choose to see opportunities and grace-filled moments of peace, and I believe that you can make that choice as well. And if you're one that needs to, then I pray that this week you may lay down your sword, as they say, and instead take up the cross. Because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So yes, share in each other's distress, carry your friends, break the roofs, step away from those questioning, and return to a place of care. And place all your worries at the foot of Jesus. And remember that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. With God's help, may it be so, this day and always.